This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as her mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Very good.
So yeah, when we look at Buddhism, sometimes it can be a bit difficult because we see there's all these different teachings and all these different things that can be done and ways of looking at it. But I always remember this one monk who couldn't remember anything, and so the Buddha just gave him a cloth and said, clean with this. And then just the act of polishing and the act of looking at his own mind, eventually he turned inwards and realized, oh, he needs to let go of defilements in his own mind. And then that was enough for him to become an arahant. So even though he didn't have any intellectual understanding, it was just enough to trust in the Buddha, in the Buddha's enlightenment, and then to turn that inwards and then slowly let go of defilements. And I was just talking to Tola earlier, there's an extension of the Eightfold Path. It's called the Salaka Sutta, which in Majjhima Nikaya, Middle Length Discourse, is number 8, where the Buddha lists the 44 defilements and also the Eightfold Path. So you have basically even just thinking about these things, like overcoming greed for materialistic possessions, overcoming anger, overcoming irritation, perfecting the Eightfold Path. So they're things that we can actively do. And but I mean, we don't have to know all the names of these things as well. We can just look inside our mind and see, you know, what is leading us in a good direction and what is leading us in a bad direction. What's leading us towards peace? What's leading us towards agitation? What's leading us towards greed? What's leading us towards renunciation? And the Buddhist path is meant to be hard to see because it goes against the grain of the world. And so the way that the Buddha spoke about his disciples is that they're people with little dust in their eyes. So they're looking for the gems amongst the rough. So even though we're surrounded by worldly things, you know, and lay people, they work with the sweat of their brow, looking after their houses and their jobs and their families, but then still taking the time to watch over the mind, over the heart, and develop spiritual qualities. And actually, when the Buddha usually taught lay people, he would inspire them with a talk on like generosity and morality, learning to be a good person, and he would point to the things like the five precepts, that just keeping these five precepts in the mind is enough to be reborn in a heavenly rebirth. But then he would take that further and then talk about like having faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and practicing in line with these things, then you can actually like enter the stream of Dhamma, it's called, which is the first level of enlightenment. And he would even encourage his disciples to do this. And at the time of the Buddha, there was meant to be not just monks and nuns, but lay people as well who were had these attainments. And I always thought it was interesting that the meditation object that he usually taught lay people was actually a recollection of the Buddha, or the Dhamma, or the Sangha, recollection of generosity, recollection of sila, which is like your virtuous precepts, or recollection of the qualities of a deva, and or you go through them systematically. And why that's interesting to me is because they're quite a lot of thinking. You know, in this modern age, we think about meditation as emptying the mind, but I think because people have such busy lives, the Buddha was giving them a teaching that inspired their minds and something you could do any time of the day. So even if you're not Buddhist, then you can look at the qualities of the deva or the qualities of generosity or the qualities of virtuous conduct. And so they're things that... It's very close to the breath meditation that I taught last week, where there's a process where the mind becomes inspired, and then it becomes joyful, and then the body becomes tranquil, and then the mind begins to gather. And so I just wanted to explain that a little bit, because that's kind of like the cloth cleaning the mind, that sometimes, you know, when you come to Buddhism, there's so many teachings and so many things, it seems a bit overwhelming, but just this kind of process of trying to be a good person, and focusing on good qualities is enough to move in the right direction. And you know, the Buddha didn't want his disciples to blindly believe either, so it was kind of like you take a little bit and then you see whether it's true for yourself. I remember when I was a lay person, because I was around people that used to drink, it took me a long time to eventually I made a pact with my brother. And then he gave up alcohol for 6 months or something. And that was enough for me to finally give up. But because I was around people and it was association, it was quite hard to break. But then now looking at the mind, I can see the benefits of not drinking after such a long time, because you're no longer seeking escape through drugs and alcohol, but you're able to rely on your own virtue and your own generosity as things that inspire the mind. The mind gets much more subtle. But when you drink, it's harder to... Well, when the mind indulges in those things, it kind of dulls the senses. So you get an immediate kind of escape. But then, you know, there's a cost involved as well. And then also we can see the dangers in our world of drugs and alcohol, when things are taken to excess. So the other problem with them is that they can lead to a tendency which is then hard to stop in future lives. But one of the stories I was just reading about Saka, who's the king of the gods, his wife in the previous life, because he was such a good person, she didn't bother doing anything good. And even though her friends did, and they all got involved, so she just kind of rested on the good actions of her husband. And then, so when she died, all of that group got reborn in heaven, in very good rebirth, and she got reborn as a bird. And then Saka went down to her, because he was her wife and looking out for his welfare, and then explained to her that what she needed to do to be reborn in heaven, and that was just to keep the five precepts. So then as a bird, learned to keep the five precepts, and then was reborn as a human and continued to keep the five precepts, and then was born into a heavenly realm. But in Buddhism, virtue is not an end in its own. So there's two kinds of dharma. There's dharma where we kind of get attached to the good results, which is still good, you know, learning to be a good person, being reborn in a heavenly realm. These things are good because the mind is becoming good. But then in Buddhism also we learn to kind of detach from the results, and then the focus on Buddhism is eventually going beyond suffering, so following the teachings of a Buddha. And I like the simile for a stream winner, because once again there's a thing called dependent origination and all these teachings around it. But also there's one simile where it's like somebody who's looked down the well and they've seen the water, so they know the water is there. And then that's the simile for a stream enterer. They know that suffering will end, the teachings of a Buddha is true. And then they know that's certain in their heart. And so a stream winner, they're no longer capable of being reborn in a hell realm or an animal realm. And so that was just to give you a bit of a broad picture of the purpose of generosity and giving and the precepts and being kind in Buddhism. And there's actually a focus of A, learning to be a good person, and B, using that as a means to go beyond suffering. As the Buddha, he, you know, we all face old age, sickness and death. So it's like when we see a sick person, then we can turn that inside and say, okay, one day I too am going to be sick. Or when we see an elderly person who's bent over like a, what is it, like the rafters of a roof, and we reflect inside that we too are subject to old age, we still are subject to death. The possessions and the people that we know are all subject to disintegration. And so these attachments and things that we have, if we haven't practiced to relinquish them, at the time when we die, then we're going to suffer, because we're going to have to go through the process of breaking these attachments after we die. And so the Buddha actually had these five recollections where he suggested all of his disciples, both lay people and monks, regularly reflect upon these things. And that's just to kind of use the goodness of our practice. So we have either our breath meditation or the recollection of the Buddha Dhamma Sangha as explained, or something like that. They're the things that kind of bring us joy and happiness. And then we use that joy and happiness to then to come back and reflect on the impermanence of things, so that we can better face death and difficulty when these things visit us. Which, you know, nobody wants to die. Well, I mean, if they do, they don't really know what they're probably out of their mind. But that process of preparing ourselves to die that's why I like the idea of being a thankful and grateful person. Because if you're thankful and grateful, then you're always looking at opportunities to make yourself a better person. And then when you die, because you have such thankfulness and gratefulness, well, you'll just be thankful and grateful for the good things you've done and be happy to let go and move on. So, yeah. I think we'll do the meditation now. and then we can always have a question at the end. Okay, so just get yourself into a comfortable position. You might want to stretch your shoulders or back, or make sure your legs and hands are in a comfortable position. Just start by scanning through the body from the top of the head to the tips of the toes, and from the tips of the toes back to the top of the head. Just relax all the muscles, let go of any tension. And accept the body as it is. Just scanning through. Relax the feet, the ankle, the lower legs. Relax the knees, the thighs, the hip bones and the waist. Relax the belly. Just become aware of the belly as it rises and falls with the breath. Lower back, middle back, the diaphragm and the solar plexus, the upper back, the chest and the heart. Let go of any tension in the chest and the heart. Relax the lungs. Become aware of the lungs as they fill up and empty. Filling up with the in-breath, emptying the out-breath. Natural, comfortable process. Letting go of any tension, any anxieties, any worries. As the lungs fill up and empty. The tingly sensation spread through the shoulders. They might droop a little. The upper arms, the elbows, the lower arms, the wrists, the hands, the fingertips. Completely at ease. Relax the neck and throat. Become aware of the breath as it moves through the neck and throat, on its way up and way down. Relax the chin, the jaw. The cheeks, the lips. Under the nose, the nostrils, the nose, the cheekbones, under the eyes, the eyelids, the eyes themselves. So allow all tension to drain out of the eyes. temples, the forehead, scalp, the whole head, the whole body. The eyes and the body completely at ease, like soft clouds fading away. Just allow the body to vanish, accepting any remaining feelings with kindness, and allowing the body to move as is required on its own, without disturbing you, for the rest of the meditation. And we bring attention to the mind or the heart, the spiritual mind. Put down the past. The past is gone. It's finished with. Now is not the time to think about it. Let go of the past. And the future. The future hasn't yet happened yet. Now is not the time to plan and think and imagine. Put down the future. And the present. Become aware of the contact that is here in the present moment. We have eyes and sights, ear and sounds, nose and smells, tongue and taste, body and touch, and the mood of the mind, and the thoughts of the mind. Accepting our sense contact, trying not to react to it, we bring our hearts into the present, to try to become clearly aware of these presently arising states. Either take up your own meditation object, or follow me for a breath meditation. Usually in breath meditation, you choose a way of watching the breath. So it can be at the tip of the nose, at the tip of the lip, it can be at the lungs, the heart, or the belly. You just choose a way of watching the breath that is comfortable, or it can be the whole of the experience. You just choose one that feels like it's okay for the rest of the meditation. As the breath comes in, just be aware of its contact. As the breath goes out, be aware of its contact. Kind heart, gently letting go of other things that may arise, just bringing our attention to one in-breath and one out-breath, experiencing the present moment as it is. Might notice a tingly sensation with the breath as it begins to relax. joyful just to be with one in breath. Joyful just to be with one out breath. Content with things as they are. Not being proud and demanding in nature. Notice a slight smile, sense of ease and contentment. With one in breath, one out breath. Relaxed awareness, just aware of the whole of the in-breath, the whole of the out-breath. Giving up any desires or restlessness, any sloth or doubts, just contented to be here in the present. Joyful to be with one in breath. Joyful to be with one out breath. As if the whole world vanishes, and this is the most important thing in the universe. It means one who is awake. We try to be awake to the in-breath, awake to the out-breath. being okay with whatever is. We notice we go off. It's okay. When we're ready, just bring our attention back to the breath. Joyful to be with one in breath. Joyful to be with one out breath. A sense of freedom from our problems and concerns. A sense of ease and peace to be in the present. A bright heart, a sense of alertness, being attentive to one in breath, attentive to one out breath. Sense of gratitude and thankfulness. Joyful to be with one in breath. Joyful to be with one out breath. Welcoming, allowing, being okay with. Joyful to be with one in breath. Joyful to be with one out breath. I'll be silent now for the next 10 minutes. 5 minutes. First of all, let's see how your meditation has gone. See how the mind is after half an hour of meditation. Sometimes the mind's peaceful, sometimes it's agitated. But we can learn skillful means, ways of setting up our meditation, so we can incline towards peace and joy and tranquility, so we can have a foundation in the heart. I thought we'd end with a little bit of Karuna meditation, which is compassion. So with a happy and joyful heart, wish ourselves to be free from suffering. May I be free from suffering. May I be free from difficulty. Free from hardship. May those in this room be free from suffering. May those in this room be free from difficulty. May those in this room be free from hardship. May those in Perth be free from difficulty, free from suffering, free from hardship. With a happy and joyful mind, wishing all these beings well. May all those in Australia be free from suffering. Be free from difficulty. Be free from hardship. Wish this thought with a happy and joyful mind. May all those on earth be free from difficulty. Be free from suffering. Be free from hardship. Above, below, and all around, all beings in all realms, whatever being is in the ambrosial of existence, may they be free from suffering. May they be free from difficulty. May they be free from hardship. No matter what beings may do to us or have done to us, may we wish them this thought, this compassion. A heart of compassion and karuna to all beings, including ourselves. Not asking anything from anyone. Wishing that all beings be free from suffering, all beings be free from difficulty, all beings be free from hardship. Brings us to the end of our meditation. When you're ready, you may open your eyes. Well, that was very weird. I don't think I've done compassion meditation before in public. What's the time? Okay, we're good. Any final questions? Okay. We will do the dedication of merits. Now let us chant the verses of sharing and aspiration. Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest God and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. Through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease and all harmful states of mind until I realize Nirvana. In every kind of birth, may I have an upright mind, with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dharma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled.
Bhavatu sapa mangala rakantu sapa devata sapa buddha nupavena sada surti bhavantu te bhavatu sapa mangala rakantu sapa devata sapa dhamma nupavena sada soti bhavantu te bhavatu sapa mangalam rakantu sapa devata sapa